Hello, everyone. I might be a little bit tired. I couldn't remember how to turn on the mic. Considering how many times a week I do that, I might be a little bit tired, but that's okay. We'll be fine anyway. So happy Sunday evening. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides. I noticed Lisa Hansen is in the room, but Lisa Hansen is also in the room. And what I mean is that she's sitting behind me with her laptop. Donna is here too. And Monica says, happy Sunday, loving the new videos. Yeah, we've posted 3 videos based on the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And we today posted the first video based on the teachings of Inner Romana. And really what it looks like is going to happen is there's going to be a library from both books available via YouTube. They won't go through the books completely. They will skip through the books, selected parts, whatever I feel intuitively to cover. But they'll both be really good tastes of what's in the books, real short teachings on what's in the books. Really, you can find these videos in 3 primary places. One is on YouTube, and you can probably find them under Regina Dawn Akers if you search for that. Or you could go to the 4 Holy Spirit YouTube account, if you know how to do that. I'm not that smart. I don't know how, but maybe you do. And they'll be there. Also, there's a NTI page in Facebook, and the NTI YouTubes will be posted there. There's an Inner Romana page in Facebook, and the Inner Romana YouTubes will be posted there. And then in addition to that, I created a permanent archive, which I actually think is the simplest, at reginadonakers.com. So if you go to reginadonakers.com and look at the pages, you will find a page called Inner Romana Videos. And I will put all of the YouTubes there as they are created. And then there is another page called NTI Videos. And all of the NTI YouTubes are being placed there as they are created. So those will be permanent archives, an easy way to find them. You don't have to search YouTube. Doesn't matter if you missed the posting on Facebook. It scrolled out of sight. You can always go to reginadonakers.com to the Inner Romana videos or the NTI videos pages and find them there. Okay? So Jasmine's having fun. She's doing the filming. And our thought is that for the most part we'll do a video per day, but obviously there will be days that we don't. And we'll do probably about 3 NTI for every Inner Romana video, since NTI is a little thicker. And it'll just be fun to see how this video library unfolds. So, right now we're here for Holy Spirit Guides. Holy Spirit Guides is the time that I am going over the personal messages that are stored on reginadonakers.com. And right now, of course, we're in that period of time when Laurent and I were joined together in partnership. And so the messages are to both of us. And Laurent is in the house. He's in the virtual room. He's not here like Lisa Hansen is, but he is in the house. Tonight we're looking at a message called Uncovering the Treasure Through the Jewels Within. Uncovering the Treasure Through the Jewels Within. I believe that message is dated November 20th, 2007. Oh, I forgot to log in as admin, so it's not letting me post the link. Give me 1 second. I'm going to go out and come back in as admin so I can do that. All right, here is the link to the message. There you go. Now I have power. What I would like to do before I begin reading the message is I would like to say a prayer. If you all would join me, I would be grateful. Holy Spirit, I am grateful for the teachings of Inner Romana. And I feel right now, I want to say that I am grateful for the presence of Ramana itself. That presence that I felt within while those messages were coming. That presence that gave me a taste of myself. That presence that I called Ramana, and yet I recognized it as myself. Oops, I must not have the mic. Thank you. Sorry, I was praying, so I'm just going to continue with the prayer. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for that presence of Ramana that joined with me as the teachings of Inner Ramana were written. I want to thank you most for the awareness of myself that came through knowing that presence. I want to thank you for the recognition of myself, the clear, clear knowing that that is what I am. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for the fading belief that I am Regina, that I am this body, mind. I am willing, Holy Spirit, to let that belief disappear completely. I am willing, Holy Spirit, to hold to no shred of that idea that I call me. I am willing, Holy Spirit, to know only the self as I am. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to guide everything perfectly to that end. And I know that you are already doing that. Amen. All right, that's the prayer. Sorry about dropping the mic. That must have happened when I hit the control key to paste the link. All right, so I am giving the link again this time without hitting the control key. I'm doing a right-click paste. For those of you who don't have it, again, the message that we're looking at is uncovering the treasure through the jewels within. And this particular message begins with a question from Laurent and me, it looks like. We'll see what the question is. We are seeing clearly the belief that we can be wrong or bad, or even that we can be evil. And we are happy to see how this hidden belief drives our choices. We know this awareness is important to our freedom. What would you share with us now to help move us to the next step of awareness? Some of you may remember that Holy Spirit talked to Laurent and me a couple of messages back about how we ask questions. We were asking questions from a position of lack, of not recognizing our own awareness, our own learning that was occurring. I'm going to say between the messages, our own awareness and our own learning that was occurring between the messages. It was as if we were acting like we could only learn from these messages, from this form of Holy Spirit. When in reality, Holy Spirit talks to us all through the day, that may sound familiar, without words. It's awarenesses, it's noticing, it's something that just happens within the mind, but it's coming from Holy Spirit. As we talked about in one teaching a few weeks ago, though I don't remember which teaching, but we talked about how the ego does not point out to you that you're an ego, right? So whenever the awareness arises in the mind that you're an ego right now, that's Holy Spirit. And that's an example of how Holy Spirit talks to us without words, without a channeling type of experience, but just us noticing this and noticing that. The thing that is causing the noticing is Holy Spirit. And it's as if Laurent and I were in denial of this Holy Spirit in our minds, by acting as if we weren't noticing anything on our own between messages, and that in order to get all of our answers, we needed a channeling experience. And so Holy Spirit, although is still willing to talk to us through messages because it is helpful, what Holy Spirit really wants to do is point us away from needing this form, because this is form. And any form is actually deceitful. Not that what Holy Spirit isn't saying isn't helpful or pointing towards truth, but the belief that there's an I who needs to listen to an other in order to learn what I do not know, that's a deceitful thought. And so if we remain dependent on this form, and we think we have to have this form in order to learn, in order to awaken, then we are accepting an idea of deceit into the mind. So Holy Spirit really wanted Laurent and I to start noticing the noticing that is occurring, the awakening that is occurring, without a message. And so we are doing that, and that's why when you look at the questions, a part of what we're bringing to the table is, here's what we have noticed, right? Without a formal channeled message where you pointed out to us, you know, just through Holy Spirit in the mind and through our own noticing with that light, we've come to see this. So we're saying that we have come to see, you know, that there really is a belief in our mind that we can be wrong, that we can be bad, and even sometimes it shows up that we can be evil, right? There may be certain thoughts in the mind that we would classify as evil, and because we're identified with those thoughts, we feel that we can be evil. We're also, and as we're saying, we're happy to see, because we're looking at these thoughts without judgment. We're here for the purpose of awakening. And so we are happy to see, we're happy to notice through the light in our own minds how these hidden beliefs do drive our choices. So, you know, sometimes we make choices to avoid appearing wrong, bad, or evil, you know, for example. But really what's underneath that is the belief that we are wrong, bad, or evil, right? So we're noticing the connection. We're noticing we're not making choices based on a pure guidance. We're making choices based on the fear of appearing or even being wrong, bad, or evil. And we're seeing that. And we're happy to have this awareness because we understand now that this awareness is coming from Holy Spirit. The only reason we can see this in us is because of Holy Spirit. Ego would not be pointing it out, right? So we're happy about this. And we say we know this awareness is important to our freedom. And then now we ask Holy Spirit for additional guidance. What would you share with us now to help move us to the next step of awareness? And here's the answer. I am going to answer in the same way I have been answering. That's because this is important. Continue to will for awareness. There is so much more to be aware of, and the part of the mind that is resistant will tire quickly of awareness. It will want you to tire quickly also. But you must remain aware of your true desire and let it lead your choices. Let true desire lead you to love awareness. And this actually reminds me very much of a message in the teachings of Inner Ramana, where Ramana asks us to be, to have discipline with our practices. That's what he asks. He asks us to have discipline. And he defines discipline as lovingly loving your love, right? Lovingly loving your love. And so, again, Holy Spirit is literally teaching Laurent and I to be independent of Him. And what I mean by independent of Him, I want to be very specific about this. Hopefully no one will get confused. Is independent of this form that seems to be learning from something separate from us. Even though it was coming from within me, I laugh at it now, it's to me so silly, but even though it was coming from within me, there was still this feeling that we were talking to something that was separate. And Holy Spirit is literally weaning us of this form, this channeling form, because it isn't necessary. Because all of the wisdom that we need to guide us is already in us. And we don't need to receive it in a form of words. We can, without any words at all, we can notice everything we need to notice, see everything we need to see, make all of the decisions about what to let go of, all of the decisions about what to focus on. We can have complete guidance all of the time without a single word. And this is what Holy Spirit is pointing to. So he's literally trying to wean us from him, this form of him. And so what he's doing is he's telling us what we can do by asking us to continue to will for awareness. And really, what is awareness? Isn't awareness him? I mean, you know, Laurent has just written, willing for awareness is willing for Holy Spirit. It is willing for self itself. Absolutely. You know, without the experience of channeling or the experience of, you know, an other. So he's asking us to continue to will for awareness, continue to will for that inner light that is going to guide us to see everything we need to see and make all of the decisions so that we're completely independent of needing to sit down and ask a question and receive a message. But we're in that constant, it's not really not even a communication, because again, there's no words, just that constant knowing, that constant awareness, that constant seeing, that constant guidance. That's where he wants us to go. So he's asking us to will for it. Will for it. Continue to will for it. So that this will grow in us. And notice he says it's important. He also tells us, again, there's so much more to be aware of. And there's a part of your mind that is resistant to this. And it's going to get tired. It's going to get tired of the simple practice of willing for awareness. It's going to want to quit that. It's just going to be tired of it, you know. It's also going to be become tired of finding errors in the mind, of seeing errors in the mind, of seeing ideas that need to be let go of. And he says, it will want you to tire quickly also. And that's an interesting sentence, because if it wants us to tire quickly also, then it can't be us, right? Which means we don't have to grow tired. We can hear the thoughts in our minds that are coaching us to grow tired of willing for awareness and coaching us to grow tired of seeing thoughts and letting them go, right? But we don't have to listen to it, you see? Because it's not what we are. And so he asks us to remain aware of our true desire and let true desire lead our choices, which means when the thought comes in, that I'm tired of willing for awareness, right? This is a tiresome practice. I can see that thought and just choose not to listen to it. Say, no, actually, I want to. I see that thought. I even feel that thought. But I really want to will for awareness and do it anyway. Yeah. Laurent says we can even be vividly and sparkly aware of tiredness. So there we go. We aren't that. Holy Spirit continues, teach yourself that you are an interesting mind, an interesting creation, and be willing to marvel at the discoveries you uncover as you become increasingly aware. Be willing to take it slow, savoring the journey of discovery, and you will not miss any of the jewels you have hidden along the way. Each jewel found leads closer to the treasure. And of course, the treasure is you, discovered as an open treasure chest, shining brightly for all to see and enjoy. So what he's doing here is he's offering us a symbol that we can use in the mind to help answer to the idea of tiredness. Right? So when the idea of tiredness is presented, we can say, oh, no, no, no. You know, I'm an explorer here. This ego mind, man, it's quite a creation, or, you know, quite an invention, if you prefer that word. And it's quite interesting to find all the little tricks that have been put in here. And it's quite interesting to find all the little things that I have fallen for in the past. And I'm having a lot of fun dissecting this mind, you know, and just go at it. He's just offering another perspective. And maybe it's actually a different perspective that will be given that will help us not to tire. But what he's doing by even offering us one perspective is he's teaching us there's more than one way to look at undoing the ego. You know, some of the ego's ways of looking at undoing the ego are, this is tiresome work. I can never finish. It will never be done. I'm so bad for having, you know, made this ego mind or allowed this ego mind in the first place. All of those thoughts are ego's ideas about undoing the ego. Spirit says, oh, this is interesting. Oh, look at that trick, you know, that I've been falling for the last 20 years. Yeah, I see that one now. You know, and it kind of reminds me, if you've seen the movie Little Buddha, and you've seen where Prince Siddhartha, as Gautama Buddha, actually it's just as Gautama at this point, is sitting under the Bodhi tree, and he's facing, you know, everything in his mind, all of Maya. And at the very end, he reaches into a pool of water, and he pulls up an image of himself. And he calls that, does anybody remember what he calls that image? It's not the inventor or the designer, but the word has the same meaning. And I can't remember specifically. If anyone remembers that scene, feel free to type it in. Architect, that's what he calls it, right? He calls it the architect. You know, and he's happy to meet the architect. And now that he sees the architect, the one who has made all of the tricks, which really was his self, he basically says, I'm not going to fall for that anymore. And that's, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to go into the mind and we want to find all of the tricks with a joy, even with an appreciation, like, wow, that was one heck of a trick. That was a brilliant trick, you know? And yet find them and decide not to fall for them. You know, just keep on that path for as long as we need to keep on that path. But it's a discovery, a willingness, a happiness, you know, to just keep at it until we don't need to keep at it anymore. In fact, I told you this was just one example of how we can look at it, this example of being the explorer looking for the jewels. The jewels actually are the errors and the tricks, you know, so we can be the explorer looking for the jewels. But I told you that's only one example of a different attitude that we can have that will keep us going at the work. Notice in the next paragraph, Holy Spirit says, any image that you can hold on to, that you can hold to in the mind that keeps you focused on the positive, on the uphill, in the direction of light is helpful. So again, if this explorer looking for jewels image isn't helpful, go ahead. Any idea that comes into your mind, even if it's cartoonish, even if it's silly, you know, any idea that comes into your mind that keeps you willing to go after finding the tricks in the mind and letting them go, right? That's a good idea. It's given by Spirit. Go ahead. Use that. It's so funny because I just got a security bulletin from from Pal Talk, and it says, don't be fooled by fake support. So maybe you can pretend like you're the geek, right? The deprogrammer who's going in and not being fooled by the fake things that are in the program. I mean, who cares what image you use, right? If it keeps you on the positive, on the uphill, in the direction of light, it is helpful. Holy Spirit continues, as I have told you, you will move in the direction that you are focused. This focus is necessary, even as you uncover that which is considered dark. It is all about motive, as we have discussed before. It is motive that drives the power of light. And it is the power of light that brings you to the experience of your own motive. So again, if you go in there with a motive that you want to find these errors, you want to find these tricks, you know, maybe you're like a safe cracker, and these are all parts of a very complicated combination on the hardest safe to crack ever made, right? And you have to find every little trick and every little false thought, but you're getting closer and closer to opening that safe and finding, you know, what it has within. You know, that's what we're here. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're not bad for finding an error in the mind. That's another jewel. That's another, you know, false code brought out of the program. You know, that's another little piece of the combination, piece of the safe cracking. You know, we're getting closer and closer and closer to the open treasure chest, the open safe. It is good news to find these errors in our mind, these false beliefs in our mind, these ego tricks that we've fallen for a million times before. Ah, what a marvelous discovery to finally see them, right? And when that is our motive, that really guides us to find them. If our motive is, I'm bad for having mistakes in my mind, then what happens is we're afraid to find them, and so we don't. They get to stay there. The safe is locked. The jewels are hidden, right? The fake part of the program remains in there, spreading its virus. If we believe that we're bad because we're not enlightened, if we believe that we're bad because we've fallen for ego tricks, if we believe that we're bad because we, you know, have certain thoughts in our mind, then all that stuff actually gets to stay because we aren't going in and doing the safe cracking, digging up the jewels. So the attitude of, you know, I'm really going after something here, I'm going after a hidden treasure, right? I'm cracking a safe, I'm debugging a program, and this is fun, finding all the tricks and all the errors and pulling it out, that's a very helpful attitude, and that's going to get us to the goal. Thinking we're bad for having these thoughts and tricks in our mind is going to keep us from doing the work. That's what he means by motive. So he says, it is all about motive, as we have discussed before. It is motive that drives the power of light, and it is the power of light that brings to you the experience of your own motive. He continues, if you look at darkness in the mind from a place of fear, from a place of belief in what you find, the experience of finding may be difficult. But if you look more carefully, even as you experience the difficult experience of uncovering in fear, you will find there is a truer motive that is leading you. You are continuing this journey of discovery because you know you are the treasure that you seek. Do not let your eyes stop short of this knowing. Do not be fooled that you are that which you find hidden and clothed as dark. Know that each darkened jewel is a jewel, and see each one as such. Let it lead you closer and closer to that which you are, and keep your mind focused on where you are going. So again, what he is telling us is, even if we're doing this work still afraid that we're bad, afraid that we're going to see a thought in our mind that we really don't want to see because that thought proves that we're bad, right? He says, even if we have that fear conscious in the mind and we're feeling the fear and, you know, we can hardly, you know, look at the mind because we're so afraid of what we're going to find. If we're actually still trying to look in the mind, then that means that motive, although it may seem more conscious, is not our true motive. He's saying our truer motive, which may not seem as conscious, but the one that keeps us going, our truer motive is that we do know that what we're looking for is ourself, our true self. And we want to find it. You know, a symbol that I've been using repeatedly lately is a mathematical symbol. If I have 49% resistance and 51% willingness, I'm actually going to make my decisions based on the willingness. But as I make my decisions, I'm going to experience a heck of a lot of resistance because it's still 49% resistance. So if I still have 49% belief that I could go looking at the mind You know, willing for awareness, and awareness is going to show me something that's just going to prove I'm bad, right? If I still have 49% belief in that, then even as I will for awareness, I'm going to experience a lot of fear. However, if I am continuing to will for awareness anyway, that means I'm 51% willing. That is my actual motive. And so what that means is, as I continue to move forward and I continue to find these errors, I'm actually going to learn through my own experience to be less and less afraid of that work. I'm going to be more and more happy about finding errors. So he's saying, you know, don't let the feeling of fear stop you. It doesn't matter. You could be feeling an enormous amount of fear, but if there's something in you that wants to continue doing this work, you know, your motive is there. Don't worry. Don't think my motive isn't here because I'm afraid, right? If my motive was here, I'd be at peace. He's saying that's not true. He's saying you can feel terrified, but if you want to do the work, your motive is in place. So go ahead. Go ahead and do the work, you know, and know every jewel that you find is a jewel, right? Every hidden belief, every false idea, every trick of the ego, it's a jewel. And just keep doing it, and eventually that fear is going to die down, and that willingness side that you're really on is going to expand. Yeah, so then we came to another question. I said, I am noticing, as I am writing this, that there is fear. Ah, that there is fear I can mess up. I'm afraid that I'll look in the wrong direction and lead myself there, or that I will at least lead myself on a long and useless detour when there was a more direct route. Look at this. So I'm afraid that I'll go after letting go of error thoughts, go after letting go of false concepts, letting go of falling for ego tricks. But the whole way I'm actually just going to be falling for ego tricks, believing false beliefs. You know, that's what I'm afraid of. And Holy Spirit says, whenever you notice a fear in your mind that can be labeled as doubt in yourself, stop and look directly at that doubt. This is a time to pause the thinking mind and notice the story that is being told. The story is this. You are a failure. You will never be any better than you are now. You are a loser, a failure, and you shall always be that. Spirit says, it's okay to look at this story and feel the hatred that is thrust upon the self. Pause here. Look at what you see. You are looking directly at the judgment you have placed on yourself. Stay with it, watching. Notice its echo in your mind. Rest, accept, and trust. Trust that as you sit with this feeling, a clearer knowing, a truer and gentler voice is rising up to greet you. Now, one thing that's not clear in this paragraph, because it was already known by the scribe, so it didn't need to be spelled out in words, is that when we're sitting with this feeling, sitting with this realization that we just believe that, you know, we'll never be any more than an absolute loser, we'll never be able to do this right. We'll never be able to do anything right, right? And when we're sitting with that, we aren't continuing to believe it. Notice he said, rest, accept, and trust. The rest part of that means rest the mind. So this means that you are sitting with the emotions. But the mind is not listening to the stories. And there are probably a lot of ways to do that. The practice that I used actually two primary practices to rest the mind. One was breathing. I would breathe and listen to my breathing, not any, you know, meditative type of breathing, just normal breathing. And the other is what I called self-talk. I mean, I would literally within my mind say to myself, okay, we're resting the mind now. We're not listening to these stories. If we listen to these stories, they're going to keep feeding these emotions. We're going to let the emotions be, the emotions that are already there, we're going to let them be. We're not going to force them away. But the stories, we're not going to listen to. The stories are just making the emotions. You know, this kind of self-talk kept the mind busy, you could say, so that the mind could not quite so easily go and listen to the stories again. So by breathing first and then practicing self-talk, I would allow myself to sit with an emotion. I might say things like, I trust the Holy Spirit. I trust this practice. I trust that if I just allow these emotions to be here, I'll be healed. I trust the healing process. Breathe again, right? So this is what Holy Spirit's asking us to do. He's not asking us to sit and listen to these stories. He's not asking us to sit and go deeper and deeper into the idea that I'm a failure, I'm a loser, I'll never be able to do this. He's asking us to allow that emotion to be. Don't be afraid of that emotion. Allow it to be and allow it to basically live its life and die a natural death without getting caught up in it and believing it. That's what he's asking us to do. And he says, trust that as you sit within this feeling, a clearer knowing, a truer and gentler voice is rising up to greet you. When this dark voice is not being listened to, and the emotions that are the effect of having listened to it before, when those emotions are just allowed to run their course and run out, that makes the room for the Spirit's voice, for wisdom, for guidance, for another way of seeing to rise up in us. So we're not going to listen to the stories. We're going to not repress the emotions. We're just going to let the emotions do their thing and die a natural death. And then this clearer knowing, this truer and gentler voice, will rise into our awareness. Spirit continues. When you wait in patience for another way to see is given. That's even a sentence that you could repeat in the self-talk. I am waiting in patience for another way to see. Another way to see will be given, right? And one thing that Laurent has written in the room, which is, you know, really important, so I'm going to go ahead and repeat it. We were talking about resting the mind, and Laurent wrote in, not wanting to figure it out. You know, one of the mistakes that we make is wanting to think about our fear, think about our unworthiness, think about why do I keep falling for this trick, think about, and that is just an ego trick that gets us back into thinking. And in fact, if you start following that thinking, I mean, just listen to this for a moment. Listen to this for a moment, okay? I've noticed some ego trick that I fall for in the mind. You know, I'm a little bit afraid at first. Pretty soon I'm really afraid. But I'm a little bit afraid that I'm just never going to... There's so many... My mind is so complicated. There are so many ego tricks. I'm never going to see them all. I'm going to, even though I see this now, I'm going to fall for it next time it happens. I just can't ever do this. I don't have it. My mind's too complicated, right? And then I kind of remember maybe a little bit Spirit's teaching here. You know, this is the voice telling me that I can never do it, and I see that. But then I go right on. I say, well, why do I always fall for that? You know, why do I always fall for, I can't do this? You know, I just, whatever the mind says, I fall for it. You know, the mind speaks, I listen. I'm not ever going to be able to. See how I didn't pause and let spirit in? I went right on with ego. I just went right on with ego. Spirit is asking us to learn to stop the thinking. And trying to figure it out is still thinking, and ego's going to get a hold of that and bring you right back in. You're going to be in self-judgment again so fast, fear again so fast, you're not going to know what hit you. So spirit is asking us to rest the mind. Allow the emotions to live their life, run their course, and die a natural death. And that makes the room for clarity, right? So we don't need to figure it out. That's thinking. The instant that seeing comes in, this is what spirit told me. I think I'm a failure. I think I can't do it. The thinking stops there. Okay. What did Spirit say? Rest the mind. Okay, I need to rest the mind now. I'm going to breathe. Slow down. Okay, I feel the fear. I feel the panic. I feel the fear I can't do this, but I can. I'm going to rest the mind. Breathe. And you know, I act like I'm acting here, but you guys know I did this. I'm not acting. I'm remembering. I did this. Okay, breathe. Spirit said breathe. Okay, now. Trust. Just trust this process. Trust what spirit is teaching me. Allow these emotions to be. They're going to die. They're going to pass. Everything passes. Just wait. Be patient. Right? You know what? Any of us can do this. But we got to make sure we don't fall for that ego trick. Go right on thinking. Go right on judging. As soon as the awareness hits you, this is my unworthiness. This is my self-judgment. That noticing came from spirit. Then jump on spirit's teaching then. This is unworthiness. Okay, I got to stop listening now. Right now. Okay, my head is full of thoughts. I feel that my head is full of thoughts. Heck, I'm going to rub my neck, rub my head. Breathe. Slow down. Breathe. And you see, as soon as I start doing that, I'm actually not listening to the thoughts anymore. I can't do that and listen to the thoughts. I can't self-coach and listen to the thoughts. That's why I use self-coaching. Self-coaching was extremely helpful to me. Some of you may find other things that are helpful to you. Maybe, you know, some of you are far enough along in the teaching of self-inquiry that you can move into that. I know that a lot of people here in Pueblo move into the mantra because we're involved in the Inner Ramana teaching. They sat here last week and told stories about how when their mind started going off, they just went into their mantra and just stayed with their mantra. That's cool because you know what? If you're focused on your mantra, you're not focused on the stories. So there isn't just one way to do this, but it's the objective and the motive that matters. You want to turn your attention away from that ego thinking and turn your attention to a place where you can allow this ego thing to finish itself off and be available for spirit. Right? When you wait in patience for another way to see is given. Another way must come when you trust another way to arrive. And I got to tell you, I have never, ever found that sentence to not be true. Every single time I have done what Spirit is asking us to do here, and I have rested my mind and allowed the emotions to, you know, live out till they die, and just been patient and trusting and, you know, practicing, in my case, self-talk and breathing, every single time that moved on, and a clearer way of seeing, a more helpful way of seeing came into being. And I've had 100% success with this. And if you don't feel like you're having 100% success with this, I would say check your practice. Are you really resting the mind? Or while you're sitting and allowing the emotions to be, are you still listening to the stories? Right? Are you really resting the mind? Have you really taken some kind of, I'm going to call it action, to move the mind away from the stories and into some other type of activity, mantra, breathing, self-talk, whatever. Or did you stay with the stories? Because if you stay with the stories, you aren't going to get the results. And the reason is the stories continue to feed the emotions. Even if they go away that day, they're going to come back another day. Right? The stories are what's making the emotions. So you really want to learn to move away from the story as soon as possible. And again, you're not really moving away from the story in fear. You're moving away from the story in realization that this is the ultimate solution. That this is what is eventually going to solve, literally, all of your problems. Moving away from the story. When you wait in patience for another way to see is given. Another way must come when you trust another way to arrive. And this in itself is proof that you are not a failure. For where you have looked, you have gone. What you have trusted has become manifest. What you have wanted has been given. And you know what? That's true even if we listen to the stories. Let's say for some reason we don't pause and rest the mind, but we keep right on listening to the stories. We become even more fearful and more upset. That proves that we are not a failure. For where we have looked, we have gone. What we have trusted, right, the stories, the fear, has become manifest, at least through more emotions in the mind. What we wanted, obviously, because that's what we paid attention to, is what was given. So these last sentences are always true. The question is, which way do we want to go with them? Do we want to give our attention to the resting the mind and the healing and let that become manifest? Or do we want to give our attention to the self-judgment and the fear and let that become manifest? There's no way we can There's no way we can fail. Whatever we give our attention to, that's what we're going to get more of. All right. In this, you find the jewel. The jewel that was hidden in the dark. Pick it up and put it in the pocket of your heart. Each time you place a jewel in the pocket of your heart, your recognition of your truth grows stronger. As the recognition of your truth grows stronger, you step one step closer to the treasure that you are. So, we find a jewel when we see the belief that I'm a failure. We find a jewel when we see the belief, I can't do this. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. We find a jewel. What do we do with that jewel? We pick it up and we place it in our heart. And what does that mean? Well, we let the emotions, the feelings last as long as they're going to last. But we let go of the story. We return to the practice. That's another thought that needs to be let go. Right? And let's say the mind starts listening to the story in a minute, and pretty soon we find ourselves wrapped up in the story again, but we notice. The moment we notice we were wrapped up in the story again, that was our awareness. Then the thought comes in, you see, you could only do it for a minute, and then you went right back to listening. That's another jewel. You could only do it for a minute, and then you went back to listening, you loser. That's another jewel. I pick that up, I place that in my heart, and I go back to rest, accept, and trust. And pretty soon, I notice my mind has strayed again, and the noticing is Holy Spirit. I pick up whatever I noticed, that's another jewel. I place it in my heart, and I go back to rest, accept, and trust. And then I see the thought that this is tiring, this practice of the mind, it never stops. That's another jewel. I pick it up, I put it in my pocket, and I return my mind to rest, accept, and trust. You see how this works? Holy Spirit says, in each jewel lies the entire treasure. In keeping each jewel, by that he means in your pocket, right? In your heart. In keeping each jewel, do you say to yourself, I am what I am, and I accept what I am as true. What that means is, as you pick the jewels up and you put them in your pocket, put them in your heart, what you're saying is, I know I'm not this thought. I'm not this thought. I am what I am. I am not this thought. So that's the end of the message. The next message that I have is called The Light of Awareness. I only have 10 minutes, so I really don't even know if I could do that message justice. So why don't I just pause for a second and see if anybody has anything they want to say or ask or anything at all. If not, then maybe what I'll do is put in a tad bit of music and we'll go from there. But I don't think I want to try and rush through that next message in 10 minutes. So if you have anything, please stick up your hand. I am letting go of the mic for a moment. I think all my CDs are in the car from my trip to Sedona. Okay, nobody else wants to talk, it looks like. So what I'm going to do is see what I want to listen to here. Most of my CDs are in the car because I went to Sedona last weekend and it's a long drive and I needed lots of music. Hey, love, did you say that the jewel that is found is the thought of darkness? Yeah, Laurent has his hand up, so I'm going to turn the mic over to him.
Hi, guys. Hello, Regina. Almost 2 o'clock in the morning. Whoops. I love this teaching. I love what's been going on. You know, sharing the willing for awareness practice is just excellent. I've been doing that a lot lately, and it's such a practice. It's really willing for ourselves. My question to you, dear, is... bonjour. My question to you is that... I believe actually that you said that the jewel that you find and that you pick up is every time you understood well, right? What you said? Every time we find a thought of darkness, like, I'm not good enough. Oh, I pick it up. I put it in my pocket. Each time I believe that each time I found like another dark thought or another dark something that says that I'm not myself, right? I pick it up and put it there. And maybe something, I believe that this is correctly what you said. Maybe I could ask that the jewel itself is not the thought. I believe that the jewel is not the thought that I'm picking up. I believe that the jewel is the picking up.
Yes.
For in the picking up, the jewel is the recognition that I'm not failure. So the jewel would be the fact or the act of not believing in what I pick up. It's subtle, right? It's subtle. You could say a little more about the jewel in the pocket of your heart. Yeah, maybe you want to say more about it, Regina. There was just like a little something that I found, and it's not for nothing, that I found just maybe called to share. That I believe that it's the picking up itself that is the jewel. Meaning, when I pick up the thought and put it in my heart, what I'm saying is that, yeah, right, come to me, baby, you know. Come home. Come to my heart. I totally don't believe you. You know, this was the... what is hidden in that jewel, in that dark thought, is that the thought says, I am a failure. And the way Holy Spirit in this message is like, amazingly redefines everything, and just turns the whole thing around. It's like, oh, the thought says, I'm a failure. Okay, I'll pick it up. The picking it up shows that I'm not a failure. that I, you know, and that's what I believe is the jewel. I don't believe it has anything to do with the thought that is picked up, but it's the action of picking it up, which is another way of saying to rat the thought. I pick it up, meaning I don't buy it. I just pick it up. I look at it from a close and don't go wanting to think more about it, to figure it out, just accepting that it's nothing, it's just a thought, etc. By the way, today I was very much drawn to remember. I didn't go back to read it, but you remember Holy Spirit gave us the one day, actually as a live conversation, remember, that was recorded. It was like a brief recap on rat, on the experience of rat. And he just spoke a little bit more about rest, about resting, then about accepting, and then about trusting, in such a way that every time I choose one of these three, or the three together, I'm really choosing to will for awareness, because I'm putting my attention more on the not believing of whatever I'm accepting, you know. It's more putting my attention on the acceptance itself than on what I'm accepting. You know, this is very subtle, but I'm just throwing this in because I just felt drawn to do that. Okay, I give you back the mic. Maybe you want to say something about this.
Yeah, when this particular message came, there was like a vision with it, you know, so I, you know, little pictures in my head. And what I saw was a man dressed, you know, kind of like a lumberjack. He had on hiking boots and a flannel shirt, and he's walking through the woods, and he looks down and he sees something black. And he picks that something black up. But as he picks it up and looks at it, the blackness that was on the outside of it wasn't really solid. And so what happened is the blackness kind of blows away, and he sees that it is a jewel. It's actually not something black at all. And he puts it in his pocket. And so when the spirit says, or when I say that the thought is a jewel, that's really saying, you know, it looks like when you're looking at it down there on the ground while you're walking by it, it doesn't look like a jewel. And the only way to find out it's a jewel is to pick it up and look at it, right? So by saying the thought is a jewel, you know, it's really encouraging you to look closer, right? To give it a closer look. And then if you refer back to the power of light message, you know, in your memory, then what you know is that there is nothing, right? There's nothing that isn't actually light. You know, remember the power of light message talks about how light passes through a filter and it appears to be darkness, but actually it's light. And so as we pick up these dark chunks on the ground and see that they're jewels and, you know, place them in our pocket, what's really happening one by one by one is that we are, if you imagine in the woods, you know, they're kind of like breadcrumbs. There's a treasure chest dark and deep in the woods somewhere. We don't know where it is. And as we're finding these jewels, which don't look like jewels, but these dark things, and picking them up and putting them in our pocket, one by one by one, they're leading us to the treasure chest, which is the realization of self. So when I say the dark thought is the jewel, that's not wholly true. I mean, the dark thought is ultimately nothing, I guess, but that is to encourage us to not be afraid to pick them up. You see? It's really trying to change a mindset, a mind that is afraid of the thoughts, a mind that is in the habit of repressing them, a mind that is in the habit of running from them. It's encouraging the mind to say, that dark thought, right, that you've been afraid of is a jewel. Pick it up. Pick it up and discover it's a jewel. And so it is just a symbol. You know, it's just a symbol. And it's just a symbol that's used to try and change the mind so that it's not afraid of looking. And I love the way that you said it also, that actually the act of picking it up itself is a jewel. You know, I think that, I don't think that's the way I originally heard the message, but I love that symbol itself. You know, I love that symbol itself as well. And remember what Spirit said at the beginning of this message, that any symbol that is helpful to keep you moving through this work in a positive and uphill way is good, is helpful. So what that means is, it doesn't even matter if someone understands the message in the exact same way I understood it. You could understand the message differently, and as long as your understanding is getting you to look at those dark thoughts and, you know, pick them up and, you know, and go through the process of resting the mind, that's what matters. That's what matters. So I thought Laurent's interpretation was absolutely perfect. And I'm grateful for it. And I'm grateful that he shared it. And it is time for me to go. So I will see you all on Wednesday morning is when I will be back. Have a good evening. Bye.